with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. It is the Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. I'm Ben Wilson, in for Femi, live from downtown Las Vegas, our Circa Sportsbook studios. Here right off Fremont Street, Michael Lombardi is here. And Michael, Master Sunday, final day of the regular season in the NBA.
Oh,
we're about
a
week and a half out from the NFL draft as well. A lot to talk about today. So excited to, first off, to go out to Augusta, see who will be crowned champion, and will Scottie Scheffler defend his green jacket. What a great day yesterday was. I know you were glued. You're watching it. And that sets up for some great activity here today.
You know, I got to be honest. I confess, I didn't move off the chair. I mean, it was too good. It was compelling. It was fun. You know, it's a great tournament to watch. I don't play golf, but I love watching the Masters. I think it's tremendous. And, you know, Scheffler's kind of an amazing guy to me. The way he just handles it with poise and, you know, nothing rattles him. He gets a double bogey, misses a short putt there on 10 to go double bogey, and then comes back on 11 and bogeys again. And then all of a sudden he makes a great putt on 12 to save it. And then next thing you know, he's eagling 13 and we're off to the races. So he's fun. I mean, he's kind of got a temperament that would be a great NFL head coach. He kind of stays in the moment and doesn't overreact. And I enjoy watching him. And then Morikawa, I thought he was great too. You know, Ben, I want to institute a rule. Like, I don't think there should be some coordination of the clothing element here. Because like when guys wear the red shirt with the blue pants, like I was getting confused. Were you yesterday? Like Morikawa's wearing this. And then I think it was somebody, I forget who was wearing it. Victor, maybe it was one of the, I forget.
It was Nikolai Højgaard who you're talking about.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, I'm like, who's that? Wait a second, you know? And look, I love when we get that random, you know, guy who's two over and we go watch a highlight. And I say to Bill Berman on the couch, well, this guy obviously makes this from far out. You know, like, why would they be showing this if this guy didn't make the putt, right? Or make the wedge go in there like Shane Lowry did. So, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
The time-honored tradition, yes, of golf coverage with the guy not in contention, showing a shot for one reason. You get Scheffler coming into today, and I thought it was certainly very telling because it was really the first time he'd had any significant struggles in the tournament, doubles 10, bogeys 11, and was actually, you know, he was 5-1 in the live market, Michael, when that happened. That's about where his pre-tournament price was. You could have bought on that dip. Now here he is today, -115 to go ahead and repeat. Birdies 18 to take the one shot lead into the final round. Colin Morikawa, your second favorite at +350, sitting one back. And the guy I certainly view as the, you know, maybe he's not a dark shot anymore because of how well he's played, but Max Homa made 17 pars yesterday. He's +750. He's two back, and I love his prop today. You can get it at DraftKings under 72.5 final round. He leads the field in strokes gained approach, which is the most important part of taking down Augusta and the general approach you want to have really good iron shots with how demanding this course is. So I really like the spot Max Homa is in today and would not be shocked if he gives Scheffler the best run of any of these remaining contenders out there.
I love his interview where he said that even his wife doesn't think he has a chance and that he was starstruck playing with Ty. I thought it was great. He's so humble and, you know, he's kind of got the right mentality to play. But, you know, look, the pressure comes in now, right? This is all this, what we've seen in 3 days. Now, all of a sudden, you know, 18 holes. And when we get to the par five, eighth hole, you know, you can start to feel it. You know, it's going to get a little bit tighter and tougher. And, you know, a guy like Scheffler, who's been here before and done it, that's going to make a difference. I'm rooting for Max, too. I got to be honest with you. I am. I think, to me, he's fun to watch. And look, anything can happen. I mean, one of the things I think, and again, I'm not an expert on golf, but it's pretty clear that you can't mess around with the par fours. You got to be careful, and you got to birdie the par fives. And to me, the hardest thing is navigating those long par threes. You know, the 12th is a short hole, and everybody seems to was going long yesterday. It's like there was a hard time judging the wind, and maybe today there won't be any, and we'll see a little bit of a lower scores or somebody from the back makes a move.
Well, and that is the thing, because today weather's supposed to be much better. The best we've had all weekend, low winds, which was a big factor over the last couple of days with 10-mile-an-hour gusts. So it's supposed to be warmer as well. And already, I mean, so Tiger Woods shoots the 82, 10 over, and it was just, you know, it was so ugly, and you just felt for Tiger. You could see how the body just wasn't there. He's come out today. He's through two holes. He just birdied the par 5 second to get to 10 over on his day, and that's very interesting because in the betting markets, you know, Woods was set at 72.5 on his fourth round prop, and he was just getting hammered to the over. Most people assuming, okay, body's broken down. There's not much left, but, you know, good start for Tiger today, and I have to think there's going to be somebody who posts like a 65 at the very least today, somebody who's more out of contention, who's just playing loose, free, better conditions, and is able to go low today.
Yeah, I think there's no question. And that's why you can't use what happens early to what's going to happen late, because the early ones, the grip isn't as tight as the later ones, right? The pressure isn't there. And you can just go, as you said, great word, play loose. So, look, I think, you know, one of the things about golf that we don't realize, and every time Tiger goes in the cup to pick up his ball, you feel the pain. I mean, you feel that it's hard for him to do that. And it's amazing that he's able to walk on that course as hilly as it is, play, you know, as effective as he has. Obviously, yesterday he shot the highest score he's ever done at Augusta. But to me, it's a marvel of his competitive stamina, the ability to do that, because you know he's in pain. But I think the other thing about golf that I never realized is the older you get, that it's harder on your body. We think about that in football terms, but never in golf. And you can have a good round. I mean, Vijay Singh had a good round, made the cut, but then, you know, on the third day, he explodes for a high score. Freddie had typically made all the cuts, even at his age, so couples, that is. So it's interesting, as you get older, it's even harder. I mean, it's hard to, like Mickelson. Mickelson doesn't even look like the same person or player.
Those guys at this point, I mean, they're just happy to be making cuts, especially like a Vijay or a Jose Maria, Olafable. Like, that's a big deal for those guys. Yeah, they're not going to hold up for four rounds, but just to make the cut means something for them. The rest of your top five today heading in, Ludvig Åberg, 4 under. He's 9-1. Bryson DeChambeau, who you were not sad for him that he fell apart on back nine yesterday.
Everybody wants to yell at Caitlin Clark for complaining. Does this guy complain more than anybody? I mean, seriously, like, it's never like it's always the club, and he's like, you know, I hate to be his caddy. Could you imagine being his caddy? Oh my God. You know, it's a good thing I'm deaf in one ear, because if I was his caddy, I wouldn't have to listen to him half the time. You know, I just say I'm on the wrong side of you, you know?
And like Bryson, I mean, to his credit, gets the miraculous
birdie. Are you playing Bryson at 20-1?
No, I'm not. I would say
that was unbelievable.
Yeah, and it was, you know, clearly we finally saw, like, would his impatience come back to bite him, and it did on 15 when he chunks a chip shot into the water, ends up doubling that hole. You could probably, you know, that's probably the cutoff, though, for today, and we will, here on the show, we'll get Wes Reynolds, one of the hosts of the VEASAN Golf Podcast Long Shots. He will close out our show a little bit later today, some of his fourth round matchup and any outright bets, but Wes was saying last night, and I agree with him, that you probably cut it off after DeChambeau at 3 under, where you're 4 back at that point. I would say this is probably a five player golf tournament, although I don't expect, certainly don't expect DeChambeau at 20-1 to be a guy I would be putting on my card there. But we're excited to have Wes coming up a little bit later. We'll also have a senior NBA analyst on the network, Jonathan Von Tobel, join us coming up as well at 11:30 Eastern, because it is a big NBA day. Michael, how you feel about your Sixers, who certainly have a lot of variance with the seeding still to be decided there, especially the bottom half of the Eastern Conference?
What are they, a 15.5-point favorite today against the Brooklyn Nets?
They are.
You know, so look, with the big, I'm sorry.
16.5, actually. They've jumped up a little bit.
Oh, it went up to 16.5. Wow. Yeah. I mean, look, they're, you know, when the big fella's in there and Maxey's playing like he's playing, and obviously Kelly Oubre gives them another dimension, and he's played really well this year on the one-year contract. So, you know, I mean, Milwaukee is going to be a team that I think everybody's going to want to play in the playoffs. If they get that 7th seed where they have to play Milwaukee and not have the play-in and not face Boston in the first round, you know, that's a great opportunity, because Boston, I just don't see them beating Boston. Boston's too mentally tough. Even when Boston wasn't playing their best, they always could handle Philly. So for me, you know, I think this is an important thing if you're a Philly fan like I am, is to beat Brooklyn, get that 7th seed, stay ahead of Miami, and then let Miami deal with Boston and see what they can do.
Honestly, the 6th or the 7th seed, Michael, is probably where you want to be when we've watched how, you know, poor. Now, again, the Knicks have played a lot better. Knicks right now have an opportunity. I mean, the Knicks are huge favorites today. Knicks taking on They'll take on Chicago with their 15-point home favorites. Bucks are dogs because Giannis Antetokounmpo is still out. Will not, and his status for the start of the playoffs is still to be determined. They're a 5-point dog at Orlando. So there's a chance. I mean, Milwaukee slips to the three here. That's, you know, that's probably the favorite based on the odds today. So if you're either the six or the seven, you'd feel good. Not only would you potentially avoid Boston until the conference finals here, Michael, but you'd be getting one of these fading, especially the Bucks are a fading team. Cleveland's in that mix as well. Might slip to the four seed with how they've struggled here recently. And look, as a Wisconsinite myself, I'm sitting here going, all right, I need to see something positive. It just hasn't been there. And this Bucks team, outside of the, you know, when Giannis or Chris Middleton or Damian Lillard have been out, it just seems like they lose so much identity. And there's nobody in that second wave of guys who's really had the goods to step up this year. And it hasn't helped that, Doc Rivers has come in and he's basically been a 500 coach since the team fired Adrian Griffin. And Doc has dominated all the headlines. So it's not a great time here to be buying stock on Milwaukee, even as much as you'd want to. You'd be tempted here to buy in a dip. I'm just not there right now.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what JVT thinks about this moving forward. But, you know, one of the things Doc has always been is, you know, he's tried to defensively, and that's where Milwaukee, that's one of the reasons they hired Doc, was to improve their defensive team, but that hasn't occurred yet. So, to me, that's going to be, it's going to be interesting. I just don't see anybody from the East beating Boston. I think that's going to be the hard challenge. The West, I think, is up for grabs. I mean, nobody's playing better than the Dallas Mavericks right now. The way the Dallas Mavericks have played, the way Jason Kidd has coached that team and has adjusted the team out since the trading deadline is really remarkable.
No question. And that's the other part of this equation. Your West is still up for grabs as far as the seeding. New Orleans, who would be the sixth seed if they beat the Lakers today. New Orleans, a 3-point home favorite. A chance to control their destiny, get that final non-play-in tournament bid, because Phoenix right now sits in the seventh seed as well. Of course, we'll talk a lot of NFL, some draft movements on the odds board. We'll discuss that next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, check out our new look, VSiN.com. If you have not done so yet, with our fresh betting splits, pro picks as well, odds by state, and much, much more. Right now on the website, how about this, Michael? Our colleagues, Stormy Bond and Tony, best bets for UFL Week 3. As we have a couple more games today. Stormy's doing great, 5-2-1. On her overall picks that she is writing up every single week for VSiN.com. Love it.
Don't ever underestimate Stormy when it comes to that. She's so good. She takes really good notes, and she's kind of locked in. It's a really good thing to do. So you got to pay attention to her. And the website, to me, is my must-go-to every single morning. That's 100%. The first thing I start my day with, is looking over everybody and kind of seeing what's going on in the landscape of what's happened in the betting market.
We love our spring football. UFL, I had Arena Football Friday night, game that was a total of 102.5, went over on a last-second touchdown, in case you were wondering. So 66-44. The San Antonio Gunslingers were involved. So there was a lot of gunslinging happening. But yes, a lot of great opportunities, at least, on the betting front there from the spring football going on right now. And we're, a week and a half away, basically, Michael, here from NFL Draft. And that's what's also really exciting right now, at least in our world. We've had some movement in the last really 24 hours. You know, you and I recorded the GM Shuffle Pod Thursday, and we had the discussion on Jaden Daniels for LSU. What were the real thought on him and what you were hearing from league execs on Daniels going second overall? At the time, he was -160 at DraftKings, but yesterday, Adam Schefter on a local Washington Commanders podcast essentially all but said this was a done deal. Daniels was going to go to, and he said it like kind of jokingly, like laughingly. He was just basically saying, yeah, you guys can go get your Jaden Daniels jerseys. I'd feel comfortable with that. As he was sort of signing off, there was this weird little nugget he dropped, and that did move the market here. Daniels is up to -230 now, Michael. Kind of interesting just based on the timing and the source. Not like Schefter tweeted that out. I mean, he certainly could have made bigger headlines if he wanted to, but interesting to say the least. And we all think of this from the betting perspective, how there was so much misinformation last year. I'm sure that's maybe why this didn't get more play, at least in the national circles. But Schefter's as locked in as anybody, and Daniels, it seems like, is going to be more likely and likely to get lock solid here as we get closer to the draft to go number two.
You know, this is a draft where I think of the six quarterbacks, one and two, or who's one and who's two, are fairly easy to recognize. I think where the conversation gets a little cloudy aligns with 3 through 6. Is Bo Nix better than Penix? Is Drake May better than Penix? Is J.J. McCarthy the third? I think then all of a sudden it gets a little bit of preference. It gets a little bit of where do you want to go with this? What offense are you running? And I think ultimately, you know, that's where it's hard to predict because no one's going to show their cards. What will the Giants do? You know, what will Minnesota do? What will the Raiders do? Will somebody come up and move up? And I think to me, you don't really know what that is. And I've said this to Stormy. I don't think you can judge, you know, if McCarthy goes 3 or if Penix goes 12, you know, forget about what all the mock drafters say. Everybody's evaluation, just like everybody's evaluation on Neighbors and Harrison is different. Everybody's evaluation on those other 4 quarterbacks are different. So I think that, you know, then let's analyze Schefter, right? Schefter's not going to say something that it's going to come back to him. He knows that whatever he says on any broadcast is going to become part of the news aggregate, right? And so it doesn't matter whether he tweets it, it doesn't matter. But the way he says it always allows him to not really reveal it, but reveal it. And I think that's why the market moved. And I think he's probably 100% right that Adam Peters, the new general manager, who is very wired within the insider community, probably wants to go in that direction.
Would make a lot of sense. And we had the news a couple of days ago with the top 3 quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, at least that's the perception. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May will all be attending the NFL draft. I think a lot of people also wondering, is this simply a Daniels versus May decision for Washington at 2, or could there be the J.J. McCarthy element here who's gotten a lot of the pre-draft buzz coming out of the combine? It sort of depends, right, Michael, who you talk to. Some people think it's just total like fake steam here with all the buzz on McCarthy. Some people believe it's real. Where do you stand on the McCarthy camp as his stock continues to rise?
Well, I think, look, he's got some element of good tape. Third down, he's very good. You know, his senior year, they didn't ask to put him into the game, you know, and whenever they felt uncomfortable, you know, Moore, their head coach, offensive coordinator, kind of got very conservative and started to call more runs, you know. We saw that. And does that mean he didn't trust McCarthy or he's just managing the game? You decide. But I think McCarthy brings some things to the table. But I really believe this, Ben. I think the key element here is what Adolfo Menasai said about the Minnesota Vikings general manager. It's really not about getting the quarterback right. It's about getting the team around them right. We so focus on the quarterback, which is an important element. But if the team around them isn't good, or if the team doesn't have the ability to play in a style that's conducive to the quarterback, and you can determine it. Look, wherever McCarthy goes, you're going to have to run the football effectively. You're not throwing it 50 times. And everybody has a mentality that if we draft the guy in the first round, oh, all of a sudden it's going to solve all our problems. No. You're going to have to manage the game accordingly to his strengths and weaknesses, and you got to figure that out before you get in there. See, May becomes a little bit of the outlier because of his potential, because you have to see a vision for him that's different than what you see on tape. That's always the challenge.
And you bring up what Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the Vikings GM, said, and that's, you know, that's a fascinating, you know, sort of secondary part of this, especially if it is, you know, the Williams, Daniels, May in that order, 1 through 3. And then these teams are trying to figure out, okay, where actually does McCarthy fit into our plans? His draft position right now is 5.5. That's heavily juiced to the under, -175 at DraftKings. But there's also this weird element, at least if we're talking Minnesota specifically, Michael, where they're 11th right now in the draft order. There's been some talk about would they potentially look to move up in that. And they might move up, not because of any sort of trades, but because of the, you know, with the tampering here that could potentially happen with Atlanta. Falcons get Kirk Cousins. They're being accused of tampering. And it seems like that definitely 100% happened. And now the question is, what will be the punishment for that? Atlanta holds the 8th pick. What have you kind of heard here, Michael, we have to hear soon because the decision has to be made before the draft in 11 days, but seems like the Falcons will in fact have to pay the price here for the obvious tampering of Kirk Cousins.
I don't think it would have been floated out there that they could flop. Okay, a flop from 11 to 8 on just a numerical total probably is worth a third. So you're basically taking a third round pick away from Atlanta if that's what you charge them for tampering. But who knows? There's no protocol here. There's no rules. There's no manual to follow for fines. I mean, this isn't like you go in front of a judge and there's a mandatory sentence and he can come there. It's all based on what Goodell wants to do. I mean, you can take away a first-round pick from the Patriots for basically doing nothing with the Deflategate, which Peter King, when he retired, said it was a bogus story. You know, and you still cost $1 million in a first round pick. So who knows what he'll do? But knowing the way the league operates, that thing got floated out there for a reason. And I think ultimately that's what it's going to be. We know this. There had to be. You can't, maybe you can't prove it, but it's implied. You don't do a deal of this magnitude, of this big, without having some kind of structure or behind the scenes conversations. It just doesn't. Now, I'm sure everybody has burner phones. I'm sure everybody has plausible deniability, but the implications are simply this. Look, Minnesota had to know that they weren't in it. They were pretty clear about that. Mike McCarthy, the agent for Kirk Cousins, he knew Minnesota wasn't a player. He knew he was getting phone calls, and he knew Atlanta was going to be the best option. So I kind of see that being happening. And if they get up to 8 now, all of a sudden, that's going to put more heat on them moving up. Maybe they don't even have to move up. You know, they don't have to. Everybody thinks you do. But sometimes you don't, you know, and I think that's something you have to take into serious consideration.
It would certainly be a great position.
What we're trying to do here 10 days
without giving up anything, yeah.
Everybody's trying to create a sense of urgency 10 days before the draft. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. When you, maybe you just have to be patient and take a step back and see what's happening.
Remember last year, too, I mean, this isn't like exactly the precedent because this is more coordinators, but, you know, Philadelphia and Arizona, I mean, the Cardinals and Eagles, they were forced to swap mid-round picks, and that was a mutual decision there with the tampering for Jonathan Gannon, who left Philly as the DC, goes to Arizona as the head coach. It's certainly different when you're talking a player, Michael, but yeah, it feels like the reality of 2024 is all of these things, whether it's coach, it's player, there is some illegalities with, there is some tampering, there is some stuff going on behind the scenes. That's just how this stuff gets done, and it's now a matter of like how serious does the NFL want to take it, especially if they're setting out, you know, these rules the way they are. And it would make sense if they flopped it that way. It would also make sense for Minnesota with the draft needs that they have to go best player available at that, you know, at that sort of position where there are going to be some really, really good options there on the board, and certainly a team that's got a lot of holes to fill.
Well, I think, you know, and that's kind of what we know. It's, you got to build the team around them. And again, you know, they need a quarterback. I'm sure they think Sam Darnold can get them to bridge them to the next answer, whatever that answer may be. But look, you know, if you go back when Brady went in to replace Drew Bledsoe, nobody thought Brady was going to be any good, right? 6 Super Bowls, 8 appearances later, he's in the Hall of Fame. It's hard to predict the quarterback movement. It really is, and it's hard to predict who can turn the corner.
And just like that with the NFL draft betting, I mean, we're going to see so much movement here over the next 10 days. It's ridiculous. 11 days out till NFL draft night. And we'll talk more draft. Tim Murray, who will be with Michael and Femi on our draft live special, will join the show next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, for a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. All you have to do is sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not only today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits right now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. I'm Ben in for Femi on this Lombardi Line Sunday. Big thanks to everybody watching around the country on Marquee in Chicago, Nesson in Boston, and Masson in the DMV area. And a guy very familiar with the DMV. He's a native of that area. Our pal Tim Murray, who you're going to be on with, Michael, for our special GM Shuffle NFL Draft Edition coming up in 11 days. Michael, Femi, and Tim. I can't wait to watch. It'll be appointment viewing as we welcome Tim Murray in right now on our progressive guest line. Tim, excited for that, man, and I'm sure you are getting fired up here with all the draft movement now as we are 10 days out here from draft day, and a lot of odds movement starting to shake up as we get closer and closer to the day.
Yeah, you know, I'm fired up as always. Draft day is one of my favorite days of the entire year, and then when you add it in the fact, guys, that you can bet on this for the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, it's certainly become fascinating to see how these odds moves and how we as bettors can get the better, so we think, of the books here. So, you know, a couple shops in Las Vegas where we live now, we'll be paying in some numbers this week. So it'll be interesting to see with the differing books out there. But yeah, I mean, we could dive into a lot of these different, you know, movements. And, you know, you've seen Caleb Williams go from, you know, minus 900 to minus 10,000 to be the number one pick. And the most recent one was Adam Schefter on some podcast on Friday saying, it's okay, go ahead, Washington, get your Jaden Daniels jerseys. And we saw a move at DraftKings from minus 165 to minus 230. Any little inkling of information moves the market quite significantly. And Michael, as we have learned, some of that information, and I'm not saying that Schefter's is inaccurate, but some of that information isn't always true. Case in point, last year, the CJ Stroud disaster, for those, including myself, that expected him to drop, and he ended up going number two.
Yeah, I think you know, there's so much variables in this, and nobody's telling the truth. But I think when Schefter did, Tim, I think you're right. He's not going to throw it out there if he doesn't think it's going to happen. Now, he didn't say it's going to happen, but he implied it's going to happen, which for Adam, that's kind of how he does things. And eventually when he gets to draft day, because look, you know, what's the mandate from the league office? The league office doesn't want you to reveal picks. The league office doesn't want the picks to come out until the commissioner gets on the stage. So everybody's under that mandate. Everybody gets yelled at if they don't. So I think with the way he said it, kind of like what Woj does at the NFL, at the NBA draft, he makes some statements on Twitter that lets you know what the pick is, but you can't accuse him of leaking the pick. You know, I think you've saw a lot of college football. Who's your number two quarterback in this draft?
Yeah, personally, it's Jaden Daniels. I love what he brings. He is just so exciting and the ability to move. But I, you know, once again, I want to fully caveat say I am not you, Michael. So I look at things from a prism of, you know, what I've seen from the college level. You know, to me, the really interesting discussion, and we can get to Bo Nix and Michael Penix and all of that. I think Jaden Daniels, with the way the game has moved, I think, you know, he is the most excitable prospect behind Caleb Williams. The Drake May one is fascinating to me because people that I respect really believe highly in his game. And, you know, my questions were the consistency. You know, you saw that North Carolina. Now, I think I can tie myself in the knots, Michael, when I say I like Jaden Daniels, but also he was throwing to a couple first round picks and Drake May was not. So I think that is something to certainly discuss from that standpoint. The one that is so fascinating to me and people in the league, and you know what I do is I just do as much homework as possible, read as much you know content as possible, is the JJ McCarthy discussion, because we just didn't see a ton from him. And is that his fault? I think that's the question, right? It's like, is JJ McCarthy not being, you know, a gunslinger, so to speak, at Michigan his fault when they had an elite offensive line, Blake Corum behind him, and just people that they can trust and know what they needed to do to win a national championship? So I think JJ McCarthy, to me, is the most, intriguing prospect from a quarterback standpoint in this draft.
He is Tim Murray, who joins us right now on the Lombardi Line at 1 Tim Murray's, where you follow Tim, and he hosts VSiN Primetime Monday through Friday right here on the network, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. With the quarterback discussion, Tim, the one prop market is the number of quarterbacks to go in the first round, 4.5, and you have two guys right now. If you go on DraftKings, their draft position is right at 32.5. Bo Nix, as well as Michael Penix, they're both shaded to the over there. As we sit now, just about a week and a half out from the draft, what's your take on those two guys in particular and just where they could potentially land here, as they are perceived to be either late first round or early second round guys?
Yeah, I'll start with Bo Nix, Ben, and I really don't think he's going to go in the first round. I know the link to Denver makes sense, but Sean Payton's not a dummy, right? I mean, this is a guy that has won a Super Bowl, and you know, the more you listen to people from around the league, you know, they look at him as a second or third round prospect. Now, could second or third round prospect go in the first round? Sure, anything is possible. Any team can decide we're going to select that player in the first round and move on with our day. But I think Bo Nix, to me, I have placed a bet on his over draft prop, minus 160, over 32.5 here at DraftKings. I would be surprised, you know, come, you know, a little over, you know, a week and a half from now, that if he was a first round pick, Denver maybe trades back into the second round. I know a lot of the discussion has been Denver doesn't have a second round pick, so they have to spend a first round pick on a quarterback, and maybe they will, but I would just be surprised if it's Bo Nix. And I've pointed a lot of people towards a discussion Todd McShay had on a podcast where he said, look, everybody that he's talked to has a second round grade on Bo Nix. They love the guy, that he's, you know, an awesome, you know, person to have in your locker room, everything about him, but you're not going to spend a first round pick on him. So to me, the Bo Nix one is really interesting from that standpoint as a bet that at minus 160 still would be worth looking at. There's other spots in town, I think 26 and a half. There's one spot here in Vegas that has his draft price, but our draft position, but it's juiced to the -225 to the over. The Penix one is fascinating to me. I still believe, guys, at the current price, it's worth a little bit of a look to the under for under 4.5 quarterbacks. You know, you always do have to worry about a team trading back in or whatever it may be to get that quarterback. But, you know, Penix, he's got all the tools. The questions about the injuries are concerning, obviously, with the multiple ACL tears, even though he played all of last year clean. So, you know, there's a draft prop right now at DraftKings of their draft, who goes first, Penix or Nix. It's minus 150 to Penix. Not a play at that price. I was hoping to get a plus price, but yeah, the Penix one fascinates me. But, you know, Michael, I'm curious your thoughts, because we've talked about this a lot on VSiN Primetime, and JVT has been covering it for the past, you know, 7 years. We've gone under the market set the past six of the last 7 years. We've fallen into the Hendon Hookers of the world going in the first round, Will Levis, Malik Willis, yeah, and they all end up sliding a little bit. So that's why we've been a bit stubborn on my show, and there was a shop in town in Vegas hanging a plus 260 to the under. So we took a little bit of a crack on that. But yeah, I still think it's going to be under 4.5 quarterbacks, but certainly, you know, the Penix or Nix sliding in is possible. But I would be personally, from everything that I've read, expecting more of a Penix in the first round than a Bo Nix.
And the hard thing about the Penix thing, Tim, is we don't know the medical on Penix. Everybody's right. Medical on Penix is going to be different, right? So to get to that five quarterbacks in the draft, like, I truly think the McCarthy will go in the first round. So that gives you four. May and McCarthy are going to go in the first round. Now the question comes down, is Penix the fifth? Is Bo Nix the fifth? I agree. To me, it's really challenging to grade Bo Nix as a starter. He's a potential starter. And when you put potential in front of the word starter, that says second round pick. Now, could someone trade back into the first? Sure. Obviously, Will Levis was getting a lot of action. Tennessee was able to get him at the top of the second. They got a 4-year contract. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, I think to me, this really comes down to, if you're playing the over, you have a sense that Michael Penix's medical is fine. And I think the next week is critical, because he will be visiting a lot of teams. And we'll get some kind of feedback on that medical.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that's why, personally, from a betting standpoint, I'm more confident that Bo Nix doesn't go in the first round as opposed to under 4.5. I think the price is everything, right? At plus 160 at DraftKings, it's worth a nibble just because, you know, as you alluded to, the medicals on Michael Penix. But, you know, when you hear Todd McShay and other draft analysts who talk to people around the league like yourself, Michael, it's backup quarterback, it's second or third round grade. I would be very, very surprised if Bo Nix is a first round pick in 2 weeks.
He's Tim Murray joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line here on the Lombardi Line. Excited, Tim, to check out the GM Shuffle, the NFL Draft Night Special. Tim, Michael, Femi, all here in studio in Vegas. Tim, as always, thanks for joining us, man. I know you'll have more draft talk tomorrow on your show as well.
See you guys.
VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 p.m. weeknights right here on VSiN. We'll talk some of the favorites right now to go in the top 10 when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN, V-S-I-N. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That is code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Michael, you should see how this odds board is just lighting up I mean, it is crazy with all, you know, the injury reports here coming out, which teams care, which teams don't. It's final game of the NBA regular season. I've got a sweat on my hands here. I have Miami in-season wins over 45.5, and they're on 45. Now, I feel good. They're 15-point favorites today at home against the tanking Toronto Raptors, but you never know with these final games. It's all up for grabs. We'll talk Sixers a little bit later because they've got themselves a great opportunity here. 16-point favorites against the Nets coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern today.
Yeah, and I mean, they're over. I think it was 48 to start the season, wasn't it, for the 76ers?
Because yeah,
I was
in that range, yes.
A staunch believer in the under. Yeah, and what are they at? I mean, they're not going to get there. So this game is kind of like, but they have to get. You know, this win to be able to secure that seventh seed, which would really be a miracle considering that, you know, how much time Embiid missed. Now, the question is, he missed regular season time. He's never been able to stay healthy in the playoffs. Kenny, that'll be the real question.
Absolutely.
Interesting to see what JVT thinks.
We'll have Jonathan Von Tobel, who is the other host on VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray, who just joined us last segment. JVT coming up at 11:30 Eastern. Sixers have won 7 straight to get to 46 wins. One game left, though. They will not get over that preseason win total. We'll talk about more NBA here in a little bit. In our second hour right now, though, we continue the NFL draft talk. And some of these top 10 markets, which are really interesting because if I kind of feel like in general, Michael, for the betting favorites for each of the top 10 picks, a lot of books are not really sure what to do here. And a great example of that is how LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers is favored to go both 5 and 6, which would be something else if he got drafted twice in this draft here. He's plus 220 to
twice,
go fifth overall, plus 145 to go sixth. And he's the one receiver that it seems like there's a big variety of thought on him because I've heard some buzz that he might even go ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., which would be a long shot. It's about plus 350 or so for him to go before Harrison Jr., who is the favorite to go fourth. And there's a number of teams who have been linked to Nabers. There's also teams looking to potentially trade up into those fifth, sixth spots. And that's where it kind of comes down to, okay, what is the more likely landing spot here? And what do you see in Nabers when you break down the film? A guy who seems like he could go kind of anywhere from like that 4 to 9 range.
I think there's a lot of teams. And Christopher Sims, who was on our show this week, he had the same notion. I think you talk to anybody around the league. I think there is a lot of teams that have Nabers ranked higher than Harrison. Not that Harrison's not a good player. Again, it's just preference, right? And Nabers is explosive. He's got more vertical speed. Harrison wins with size. He's got great body control and hand-eye coordination, and he makes those plays. But I think when you look at Brian Thomas and you look at Nabers, those two receivers at LSU are spectacular. So I think it's going to come down to Monty Ossendorf at the Arizona Cardinals. You know, does he feel like which one gives him the best chance, or does he try to look? He's selling the pick. He's trying like hell to sell the pick. You know, he's trying to. But if May goes third to New England, if that's what happens, if we go Williams, Daniels, and May, then, you know, it's going to be harder to sell that pick because who wants to come up? Are the Giants going to go from 6 to 4? Are they going to do that? Because I think if May comes off the board, then I'm not sure the Giants go quarterback. I really don't. I don't think that happens. So I think there lies the conversation. And then do the Giants, I don't think they take McCarthy. I don't think they take Penix. I don't think they take Bo Nix. So could they take a receiver? Sure. And I think that Harrison and Nabers are the two guys that are going to go. I prefer Nabers over Harrison, but I think a lot of teams are in that, but that doesn't mean all of them are.
Sure, and it goes into as well, not only Arizona at 4, but you have the Chargers at 5. There's been buzz about would they, Jim Harbaugh and his first year's head coach, would they be trading down out of that or go O-lineman?
Could he have been any clearer? I mean, he wasn't lying.
Yeah.
He's going to draft an offense or a defensive lineman. He could care less about the receiver room because, look, this man spent a lot of time at Stanford. He was the head coach at Stanford. Who was on campus with Jim Harbaugh when he was the head coach at Stanford? Bill Walsh. Who used to have lunch at least once a week with Jim Harbaugh? Bill Walsh. They would sit there. They would have conversations. They talked. And philosophically, everything that you hear come out of Jim has a Walsh tone to it. And what is Walsh's tone? It's the same thing that he told me. You don't fix the wide receiver room until the rest of your team's complete. And so he's going to get that offensive line fixed. He's going to get the defensive line to improve, and that's what's going to be his modus of operandi to go forward. And I think everybody that keeps wanting to put, you know, Adune in there, or they want to put Thomas in there, they want to put Brock Bowers. Now, if Alt's on the board, I'd have a hard time thinking he doesn't take Alt.
It's interesting on that front because Alt's, you know, he's like a minus 160 favorite to go seventh, which would be, that's Tennessee's spot. And they've certainly been linked to, if he's on the board, we're taking him there. But yeah, it's interesting how I go back to some of these interesting, you know, draft position markets you can bet where the Chargers to take an O-lineman first. It's only minus 125. Wide receivers plus 135 yet, you know, from what you bring up, and it's a very valid point here, seems like that delta should be a lot wider, right? When you think about the history and the pedigree and the sort of evaluator Jim Harbaugh is and what he wants to do with this draft.
Right, but remember, everybody who's putting mock drafts together, they over-evaluate receivers. Ben, if you come into your first NFL draft room and you didn't know, had never been in one before, the receiver board is going to be overflowing with players. There's going to be a zillion guys up there that can make the team because it's the easiest position people believe to evaluate because you're just grading production. You're just grading production. And yet it's the hardest position to translate into the NFL. Why we see the second round picks, the seventh round picks, all these guys later draft that come in and outplay some of the people in the first round. So it's just what happens with all the mocks, right? There's always more receivers and they're always more in the first round. Whereas the offensive lineman, it's not sexy. But we know this. We know that what wins is offensive and defensive line and quarterbacking.
Your thing.
You know, now, do you need a corner? Sure. Can you find one? Okay, look, you know, Mitchell from Toledo's a really good player. Will he be the first corner off the board? Good chance. Does he go in the top 10? Good corners typically go in the top 10. I mean, look, Witherspoon went sixth overall or seventh last year.
Quinnen Mitchell, I mean, he's minus 175 to be first corner selected. Again, in draft betting parlance, that's, you know, not overwhelmingly the favorite at this point with how much that thing can change. But plus 370 to go top 10 seems like a lot of people around the league really love his upside in general. And it seems like a guy who certainly could be a riser. Just sort of depends on, you know, you think about the rest of the top 10 here. You have, you know, the Giants 6, Tennessee 7, Atlanta 8, Chicago 9, the Jets 10. Which one of those teams would you feel like most likely to say, okay, look, I believe in a guy like a Mitchell that we want to continue to bolster our back end of the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, look, any team, could you imagine Sauce Gardner playing alongside of Mitchell, having two corners? Now, I know they've got, you know, the other kid, DJ, I forget his name, DJ Reed over there to play, and he played well for him last year, but you can never have enough corners, right? You can never have enough good corners. Whereas everybody wants them to take a wide receiver, you know, the Jets. And there's conversation that the Jets could move down. You know, could they move down in the draft and add more picks, right? I think anything's possible. Look, the Jets need offensive linemen too. They got two tackles that they're going to hold their breath on all season long. Morgan Moses and Teron Smith, can they stay healthy for the entire season? That's got to make you nervous. And if you got an opportunity to take a really good offensive lineman, you know, Fanutu from Alabama. I mean, Arnold from Alabama and the other kid from Fanutu from Washington. I mean, those guys are really good players, and they're going to be plug and play.
And what's funny, too, like the Jets went through last year, they basically tried the same thing with the two super old aging offensive linemen on the tackles. That did not work whatsoever. Shocker, two 38-year-olds not lasting a full NFL season. Yeah, and you've got, you know, let's say the Jets stay at 10. I mean, you've got, you know, Olufoshanu out of Penn State's plus 165 to go top 10. You have Ateli Swaga plus 210, Aliatu Latu plus 280. Like, there are some interesting guys here on the odds board who, now the question is, how do you parse through which one is higher on the draft board? That's the thing. Fashanu throughout the process early on had been that, you know, he had sort of been the consensus, the second guy, but since then sort of seems like Fuaga's gotten a lot of the steam as well, and that's where it kind of becomes, okay, which one of those do you feel like would be a better fit for the Jets based on what they present on the O-line?
Right, to find a tackle, it's really hard. Fuaga, you know, Fanusu, you got, you know, you're getting guys that could come in and plug and play. Latham from Alabama, right? So, like, you pass one of these guys up, you're not getting them at the top of the second. Right. So everybody thinks, well, the offensive line draft is deep. And it is. It's got. But tackle's a different position. And it's not right or left tackle. It's just tackle. If you need a tackle, you need a good young tackle, you better go grab one, because they're not going to be there in the bottom of the top of the second. And, yep. You know, you're not getting a left tackle there. It's going to be hard.
After all, it seems like the big question of between Talis Fuaga, who's gotten a lot of the late respected momentum here. He's now 4-1 to be the first O-lineman selected. Olufoshana out of Penn State was that second choice. He's 7-1. Who will go next? That's a big question as we continue the NFL draft talk. We'll reset, talk some more headlines when we come back. Hour number two starts next on the Lombardi Line.